You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The road of humanity is strewn with blood, and we've all traveled that road. The cosmic evil cannot be removed by cosmetic solutions.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Make us vehicles of your power, saved by the grace and glory of Christ's cross. Let the power of your salvation course through our lives with faith in Christ, strong enough to love one another. In his saving name and by his power, we pray. Amen. St. Paul said that the cross of Jesus Christ is an offense to people, especially to good, pious, religious people. Others who have no religion at all, and often pride themselves upon that fact, regard the whole thing as nonsense. St. Paul says that, too. People are turned off by the cross. It has always been that way, and it probably always will be that way. Still, said Paul, we preach Christ and his cross, although we know that people are turned off by it. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross of Jesus Christ, with the good news of God that flows from it, still is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. The cross of Christ has power to turn off, and it also has power to turn on. On the way to the burial of a body in the cemetery, it's not unusual that someone asks casually, why? Very often the question doesn't mean a thing. It's just a way of making conversation. On other occasions, it means a great deal. Someone is deeply troubled and asks, why? The why is often a comment, both critical and bitter, about both life and death. Why did this woman who died have to put up with so much in her lifetime? Why did this man have to die just when he was ready to do such great things? Why does the great storehouse of his knowledge and the great musical ability he had in his fingers have to die with him? Why did this girl have to die so young before she had even a taste of mature life? Why did this baby have to die so suddenly when so many of the joys and hopes of the family were centered upon her? The why may be about the time of death or the partiality of death which takes one and leaves another, or half a hundred other aspects of death that occur to people when confronted face to face with the destroyer. Because I'm a preacher, probably the question why is asked of me more than it is of other people. I'm supposed to be able to tell people what God is thinking. More often than not, the question is a challenge to defend God if I can. Actually, the question is directed to God himself. And I'm expected to justify my position as a spokesman for God by telling people exactly what he had in mind in this particular instance. Well, death is not pretty. Indeed, very often, life is not pretty. What people do to each other in life is frequently not attractive. And what happens to people in death is certainly not enchanting. Blood is spilled all the time, both in life and in death. This is a blood-spattered world. Young people are killed in wars that never fulfill their purpose. And older people die by violence on the streets or even in their homes. People ask, why? As if God somehow were responsible for the whole thing. There's only been one death in the whole history of the world for which God himself could be held completely and wholly responsible. That was the death of his son. His son came to die by his father's design. The father planned it that way. People killed him, of course, as people do. In this case, good and pious people, along with some who were not so pious and not so good. All of us were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. But it was the father's design through him to reconcile all things to himself by the blood of his cross. For that, his father can be blamed. And for that, his father gets the credit, depending upon how you look at it. Some people who blame God for everything else don't blame him at all for the death of his son. They don't give him any credit either. They just don't believe that God had anything to do with it at all. If Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he would not have died. Because he died, he obviously is not God's son. People keep repeating the question directed to our Lord from beneath the cross. If you're the Christ, come down from the cross. Save yourself and us. That's pious talk from people who are turned off by the cross. It's also sarcastic talk from people who can't believe that the thing is anything but nonsense. If God had nothing to do with the cross of Christ, it would be just another offense against everything that is just and right in the world. If God had nothing to do with the cross of Jesus Christ, it would be sheer nonsense to proclaim that his death has a significance different from the death of anybody else in the whole history of the world. The offense of the cross, turning people off, is simply this. A man who claimed to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world died. His death was as bad as the death of anybody in all of history. In fact, it was worse. He died on a cross. One secular solution to the problem presented by Christ's crucifixion has occurred to some people. Ban all crucifixions. Put an end to all executions. See to it that it never happens again. The only trouble with that solution is that the people who propose it are ready to crucify everybody in sight the moment their own interests are affected. The crucifixion of Christ for the sins of the world and the offense it gives to people cannot be eliminated by any do-it-yourself effort, no matter how idealistic it might be. The road of humanity is strewn with blood, and we've all traveled that road. The cosmic evil cannot be removed by cosmetic solutions. Jesus Christ took sin and death seriously. In all his humanity, he took death completely. He suffered what we have to suffer. And he died as we are destined to die. He did all of that with resolute determination that could not be denied. If I be lifted up, he said, will draw all men unto myself. He was talking about his death when he said that. The death of Jesus Christ was real. He let us know how real it was, and his men reported what he said on his cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's death. In death, he asked the question, why? It's our question, and it was also his. He died, really died. Jesus Christ died because of sin. The wages of sin is death. He died for sin, not his, but ours. That's the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's also the reason people are turned off by his cross. They turn away from it, for they cannot and will not see themselves on that cross. They cannot and will not believe that God would do something like this to his son in order to save them. They cannot and will not bring themselves to see the glory and grace of God in the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ tells us that life is more than food and drink. It's more than making a living. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. He also said, If any man would come after me, let him forget himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He bore his cross, and he expects those who follow him to bear theirs. It isn't enough that you have to see God in the cross of Jesus Christ. You have to see God in your own crosses, wherever they may be and whatever they may be. That turns people off. They're perfectly content to see God in their prosperity, but they don't want to see God in their adversity. They don't want to see adversity at all. Life is supposed to be one glorious picnic. That's the way a lot of people look at it. Anything else is not really life. I've even heard religious people giving themselves credit for being so prosperous because they followed God. The secret of the cross of Jesus Christ is that life is not a matter of things. Things you can take or leave. Life is a thing of the Spirit, with joy running over in both good times and bad. It's knowing God, trusting God, following God, and hoping in God, just letting God lead and following his leading. That's the secret of life, real life. Jesus Christ answered his own question, why? His answer came right away, as human can be. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He knew his Father. He trusted his Father. He followed his Father. And he never lost hope in his Father. He died in obedience to his Father. And his Father gave him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It takes a lot of faith to live that way. Faith brings its own crosses. They're not the cross of Christ, which he bore himself. They're the crosses people bear because they believe and follow God. Faith turns people on because it's faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. It means going his way. That's the way of the cross. It's the way his people have always gone whenever they've been his people. St. Paul put it bluntly. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the talk of a man who once had been turned off by the cross of Christ and then was turned on by that same cross. That's life. Openly confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, whose glory is in the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. It's the glory of life in Christ, to go the way of the cross, no matter what it costs, turned on by the very same cross that turns other people off. It's not easy. A Christian legislator decides that it's against the will of God to make abortion easily accessible just because some people want it that way. His constituents may be overwhelmingly for it. A vote now to follow the will of God could mean the loss of many votes later on. The manager of a business may decide that it's the will of God not to engage in improper or even illegal means of doing business. Competition is stiff. His position with his own company may be compromised, and he loses a contract because he decides that he's going to go the way which God wants him to go. He does that with faith and love toward God. Doing the will of God can be a real cross, especially if you lose your job doing it. Most of the young people in the class cheat on an exam. The few committed to do the will of God do not cheat. Sometimes their marks are lower. Sometimes they fail. It's enough to turn anybody off. Doing the will of God led Jesus Christ to death. It's God's way, and his Son went that way. He died. Some are turned off by that, and others are drawn by it. That's where life is, in the cross of Jesus Christ, where he died and was laid to rest in a grave, as people are who have died. By the will and glory of his Father, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because of that cross. By his obedience in atonement for the sins of the world, he leads people to life. Through faith in him, turned on by the glory of it all, people all over the world are finding life today in the cross of Jesus Christ. The message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost, of course. For those who are being saved, it is the power of God. I believe that. You can believe it, too. God's promise in Jesus Christ is forgiveness and life. God promises to help all who follow Jesus Christ to do his will, just as his one great and eternal Son did his will and was vindicated by resurrection from the dead. God's promise, believed, accepted, and followed, does not turn off. It turns on. It picks up. It carries along. It renews and revitalizes. It is life, which is life indeed. It is modesty in success and fortitude in failure. The gift of God is life, life eternal in Jesus Christ, the crucified and the victor over death. All kinds of people have been turned on by the cross of Christ. No one is too big or too little, none too great and none too insignificant, none too educated and none too uneducated, none too rich and none too poor to be caught up in the glory of Christ's cross, which is to those who are saved the power of God. When I survey the wondrous cross, said Isaac Watts, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. That's life, not turned off but turned on by the power of Christ's cross, which is, as St. Paul said from personal experience, the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's an honor, my friend, to bear the name of Christ crucified. It's a privilege to believe in him and to become more like him, carrying your cross, whatever it might be, with glory, for the simple reason that you believe and trust in him because he bore his cross, shameful and degrading as it was. He bore it for you with all the nobility and strength that was and ever will be his. The greatest compliment anyone will ever be able to pay you in your lifetime is that you, for the love of Christ crucified, are becoming more and more like him. You are compassionate. You have a heart. You have the courage to face the evil, and you love that which is good. You speak well of others, and you're ready to give help when it is needed. You don't poke your nose unnecessarily into other people's business, but they know you care about them, and they can always look to you as a tower of strength. You're growing up into the stature of Christ, the master of life and of death, by virtue of his cross. You're like him because you've heard the message of Christ and his death on the cross. It makes sense to you. You're turned on by it, and you're saved by it. What's more, by it you become a vehicle of God's power. Amen.